HarperCollins presents Why Mummy Doesn't Give a Fuck by Jill Sims, read by Gabrielle Glaister.
January. Wednesday, the 3rd of January. The first day back at work after Christmas and New Year is always a bit of a slog. The sudden realisation that foodstuffs exist other than Toblerone and Quality Street and cheese, and that it's now frowned upon to start on the white wine at 2 p.m. is always a shock to the system, let alone remembering that you're a functioning adult with a responsible job and clothes with non-elasticated waists. When your first day back is followed by your first relationship counselling session, after what could be described as a difficult Christmas, it's even less fun. Christina, our counsellor, came highly recommended. Well, Debbie in HR at work said that Christina had saved her sister's marriage after it turned out her sister's husband had been having it off with their twins' first teacher since they started primary school, and said twins were in year 10 when this all came out. And he also had a thing for being spanked while covered in PVA glue and glitter. Well, hence his attraction to a primary school teacher and their easy access to such things. So I thought that if Christina could wave her magic wand and sort out that little peccadillo, then surely Simon and I would be an easy fix. A walk in the park, practically. After all, no peculiar kinks had come to light. He hadn't betrayed me with a woman I'd bought several world's best teacher mugs and bottles of wine for. Someone I'd sat across from while she outlined the importance of reading every night with my precious moppets, all the while having a life-size model of my husband's penis on her bedside table, made from the scraps of clay left over from making Mother's Day presents with her class and decorated with his favourite glitter. Had he? I mean, when you put it into context like that, the fact that he had had a one-night stand with some sexy señorita that he met while on a business trip to Madrid really wasn't that bad, was it? Or at least it could have been so much worse. That is what I keep telling myself. Chin up, it could have been worse. He could have had a predilection for dressing up as Anne Widdecombe. He could have had a thing about bonking someone dressed as Anne Widdecombe. I'm really not sure which would be more disturbing. Well, he could have followed in the footsteps of perfect Lucy Atkinson's perfect daddy, who left Lucy's perfect mummy high and dry when he ran off with Lucy's mummy's sidekick and wannabe, Fiona Montague, leaving Lucy's mummy to face Fiona, whom I never liked. Very smug, and always just a bit too try-hard, even though clearly Lucy's perfect daddy liked how hard Fiona tried. Even though he's got very fat since moving in with her, and is obviously overindulging in Fiona's bloody endless cupcakes that she was forever posting on Instagram, at the school gate every morning. Of course, the kids are now too old for the school gate, as they're at big school, so I suppose I wouldn't have had to do that anyway. And Simon doesn't like cupcakes. But on the other hand, it was really quite bad enough. When Simon told me a couple of months ago, I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. Literally winded. I still don't know what possessed him to tell me. Guilt, he said. I'd heard people talk about a maelstrom of emotions before, but I didn't honestly know what that meant until then, as I veered wildly between rage and despair, and a really quite strong desire to kill him. And periods of calm during which I convinced myself we were mature adults with two children, and we'd been together for 25 years, give or take. We loved each other, and we could get through this. Only to have the whole cycle start again. I felt so sick I couldn't eat for 3 days, which has never happened to me before. Periods of high emotion normally lead to relentless comfort eating for me. I did lose 10 pounds. So one must look on the bright side when one can. After a couple of weeks of Simon looking hangdog and saying he was sorry, and me finding the rage wasn't really abating at all, and all our attempts to discuss it, like mature adults, generally ended in me shouting something about ripping his bollocks off if he told me what...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?